Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you with me and Brandon Williams on UrbanBuzzMag.com. Brandon Williams, say hello to the people.
What's happening, Urban Buzz? What's up, Nigeria? How are you?
I'm good. So,
good.
I have a new project coming out, and you have a single released. Let's talk about that new single.
Okay, so the new single is featuring kind of music royalty, the son of Brian McKnight, who we all know and love, his son, Brian McKnight Jr. The name of the song called In Love. And, you know, to me, it's a great song, and I've been getting really great feedback on it. Yeah, it's really good.
Well, we need some love, brother. We need some love during these tremendous times we're going through. So we need some music to encourage us and to remind us to love one another. Yeah, talk to me a little bit about you and what makes you want to sing a song about love. What does love mean to you?
Love is so many different things, you know, and of course it means different things to different people because everybody has their own understanding of it. I mean, you do have basic principles, but again, you know, everybody still has their own understanding. But what it means to me, oh man, I mean, it's such a heavy word and a heavy question. So I'll tell you a little bit about it. So I have a new project coming out entitled The Love Factor.
Right.
And the way that I see it is, I'll take you back to my childhood a little bit. You know, I was raised by a single mother. She raised three boys. And a lot of the reasons why she worked two jobs and three jobs when me and my brothers were kids, you know, it was the love that she had for her children and her wanting to provide. So that's part of the love factor. And then, you know, when I got older, me kind of taking care of her and doing things for her, that's also a part of the love factor. So that's, you know, that's why love is really important to me. You know, people say money makes the world go round, but I really do believe that love makes the world go round. You know, the reason why you do whatever you do, you know, for the people that you love is, you know, is because of the love that you have for them. So, I mean, love is just a really important thing that we all need. In today's day and age, you kind of don't know what to expect when you sit down and you craft songs based around love and the concepts of love and just everything that is encompassed in, you know, in the word love, because so much of the music today, you know, radio or otherwise, is based around sex and drugs. I mean, you know, a lot of stuff is based around sex and drugs. I mean, it's just like nothing is based around love anymore. So
right.
Back when you had, you know, the Isley Brothers doing their thing, it was based around love. Teddy Pendergrass, Hugo Bryson, James Ingram, even Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, it's and actually one of my favorites. So Michael Franks' stuff was about love, and Michael Franks was actually great with words. So, you know, some of his stuff was about sex, but it wasn't overtly about sex. There's nothing wrong with talking about love making.
Right. We don't have to be so explicit.
Today, yeah, like everything today is just so blatant. You know,
right.
Like, I want to F you. Like, this is what I'm talking about.
Right,
like,
right.
No, that's not how you say it. And a woman, they don't really want you to say it like that.
Exactly.
So, like, yeah, women don't want to hear it like that. You know, be a little more gentle.
Exactly.
You know, we adults here.
Right,
you know,
that's right.
You know,
that's
it's fine, for, you know, to be a little rough. It's cool sometimes.
Right.
You know, but not all of the time. You don't want it rough all the time.
So, right.
You know, come with a little tenderness, a little gentleness.
So, okay, a little tenderness.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of don't know what to expect crafting songs about love just because we don't hear them anymore on the radio, or it's very, very rare. And when we do hear them, it's on, you know, the adult contemporary or the classics.
Exactly.
Station. You know,
right.
We hear Old Luther, you know, we hear Anita Baker.
Right.
But we don't, you know, we don't hear it in pop radio. But I believe that people are looking for this. Whether they know it or not, I believe that people want to feel love again. People want to hear about it. They want to feel it.
Because
there's so much going on in the world, and people are so stressed out and crazy that I think people really need love out here. Like, seriously.
Oh, true. You hit the nail on the head with people are stressed out and crazy. You ain't never lied about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, look at, you know, listen to the radio, and I don't watch television, you know, but I see enough news, you know, I see enough news on my feed on Facebook and Instagram, kind of see what's going on. And I mean, it's really bad out here right now.
It is.
And things have never been the best, but it's just really bad. And of course, we get to see more of the bad now because of social media, because of how much access we have, you know, to different parts of the world and each other. So, you I'm just one of the people, along with some others, who are trying to combat the hate with love.
All right, now. And I was just getting ready to say, who is Brandon Williams? And so you can start with combating the hate. Describe a little more of your heart for us, because I appreciate that.
You know, I mean, that's kind of who I am. I would just say that I'm me as a person, deep down at the core of me. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say that I am love, but I'm just a huge advocate for it. And I think that people need to love themselves more so that they can love others more.
Absolutely.
A lot of people say that you can't love anybody else until you love yourself. But I don't believe that to be true, because I know when I was suffering from depression some years ago, you know, and not wanting to live, and we've all been, you know, at these stages in our lives where we kind of look around, you know, in younger years, like, why am I here? What am I here to do? And you just can't necessarily figure it out. And even in those times, I still love my mom. I still love my dad. I still love my brothers.
Right.
But you learn to love yourself properly, I believe, is when you learn to love someone else properly. And I'm a huge advocate just for love and people loving themselves, because I believe that if we love ourselves properly, that we can learn that we can love someone else better.
Right. So how did you get into music? Give us a little background. You have an album prior to this. So how did you begin singing?
I got into music and doing the whole production thing from, you know, really just listening to music as a child, you know, around the house. I was, you know, my mom, she was playing music when I would go to my dad's. He's a huge music lover. So I was always into music. And in my mom's house, it was mostly gospel music early on, you know, and then, you know, I kind of started sneaking and listening to a little George Duke here, a little Joe Sample, a little Michael Jackson. You know, but when I went to my dad's, he was listening to everything, you know, smooth jazz. You know, he was turning from Tina Turner. It didn't matter. My dad was just listening to everything. So I've always been heavily influenced by music in general. And it's just one of those things that was just innate in me to do. You know, I play, you know, more than 10 instruments. I'm just, you know, it's just an amazing gift that I have. And, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, kind of how I got into it. Like my grandma, you know, and I say this in every interview, and I'll always, you know, revere my grandmother. She was great. Mm-hmm. But she bought me a keyboard when I was little, and, you know, and it's, you know, the race has been on, you know, since then, since I was 5 years old.
Okay.
And then coming up through the ranks, and, you know, doing stuff in, you know, in middle school. I played in the band, and then high school is when I kind of started, you know, toying around with music production and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then after, I went to the service and played in the band there, and when I came home, was really when I kind of started getting serious about it. I was working at Guitar Center, and, you know, a couple cats found me. You know, this guy named Gene Dunlap, who was, you know, really big into the Rare Groove scene here in Detroit. And then I started working with Eminem back in the day, and D12, and Dr. Dre, and, like, Exhibit, and all of these people. So I've been doing production for people for a long time.
Wow.
And then when I started my debut project, 12, you know, I was actually in South Africa when I came up with this, and I did the first song for it there, and I just felt that it was time for me to say something of my own, you know, because I've been helping other people, you know, tell their stories and craft songs for them, but I hadn't really done anything for me, you know, so I started, you know, crafting my own album, and I reached out to all of these different singers, you know, and vocalists, songwriters, you know, kind of pulled it together in the way in which, you know, kind of Quincy Jones did it in the 70s.
Right.
You know, he was, you know, the mastermind behind The Dude. And then, of course, in the 90s, he did Back on the Block. So, you know, he pulled in all these people who you didn't think would necessarily work on an album. Where would you hear Take Six and, you know, and like KRS-One, you know, or people like that.
Right.
You know, you, or Kool Moe Dee, these types of people, you wouldn't think that they would work together.
Right.
And, you know, it just works. So that's kind of, you know, the blueprint for what I do. Yeah, that's a little bit, you know, or actually that's a lot about me.
Right.
But that's actually, you know, in the grand scheme, all of that, you know, is really a very, very condensed version of who I am.
So what did you learn, or what are you learning, have learned? Let me see how I can say this, because I'm always interested on with people who have worked for other people, written for other people, produced other people, and then they step out and do their own thing. Is there a fear factor in that, or is it just you felt the call to just do it? I guess that's what I want to say.
Yeah, you know something? For me, I've never there was never a fear factor for me.
Okay.
I've always been kind of the fearless guy. So when it was time for me to do it, you know, when I woke up out of that dream and it was time for me to do it, it was just time for me to do it. Full steam ahead, you know. And what I did learn, because even though I had been producing for a long time and doing stuff for other people, working on an album of your own is a very daunting task.
Okay.
And especially with me, being the producer and not necessarily the artist in the way that you would see in front of the stage. Calling all of these different people, you know. So my first album had 17 songs, and I think I probably had 12 different vocalists on there. So you have to work with all of these different people, all of these personalities, all of these schedules. People are out on tour, you know. You get discouraged because this one person is, you know, they're working on an album at their home, and they're out on tour, so they don't get back to you for 6 months. You know, so it was that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned then, which helped me with the second album, is patience. And I can't necessarily say that I was a very patient person before I started with, I wasn't the most impatient person, but I wasn't as patient as I am now. But that's okay. Really what that first album taught me, was how to be patient.
Wow,
and
okay.
I went through some of the same challenges, you know, and same struggles on the second album. And, you know, I was a little more patient, and, you know, things just went a lot smoother because I just understood a little more about the industry and how things work. And how people work and how personalities work. You know, I really learned a lot with that first album. It took me 4 years to do it. And this one, when I actually just assessed it, you know, I started coming up with concepts for this album probably 3 years ago.
Okay.
And a lot of those concepts have been thrown out. Yeah, they've been thrown out. And the album kind of started really, really taking shape in January of this year. So it's only taken me about a year to do it. So I got one more song to do. I'm actually flying to L.A. here in a couple of weeks. Me and Monifa are doing a song. And,
okay.
You know, Monifa is sounding as amazing as ever. It's going to be a really good album, and I'm really looking forward to putting it out. It's definitely my best work. You know, I thought that I would not be able to top my first album because it was a really, really good album. It was, you know, critically acclaimed, and people loved it. You know, I was in my own head and trying to make the second album better than the first one,
right.
And it wasn't working. So I had to kind of step out of myself a little bit, assess the situation, and look at things. And when I did that is when the album started to kind of turn right and started, you know, taking shape on its own instead of me necessarily doing it. And it is an amazing work of art. You know, I'm actually really not necessarily surprised, but I just wasn't expecting the album to be what it is today.
That's good. And I like how you said you was in your own head, and, you know, sometimes you're super critical because it's yours. And like you said, you wanted
right.
it to be better than the first one. And then you have to release so that you can just let it flow to get the best result.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
This album is going to be released when?
I'm looking to release this one in the spring of 2019.
This just shows the work that a good album entails and how you have to be patient, as you mentioned, to really be pleased with the project. So let's talk about the single you released again, how it's doing.
So yeah, the name of the single is the title, In Love, and the featuring, again, Brian McKnight Jr. And it was, you know, great to work with him after all of these years. You know, we've known each other for a few years, and it was just really good to work with him. And the single is doing well. We just released the lyric video for it, and people are really loving the lyric video. And I'm hoping that we can get an actual video with Brian in the video to, you know, to do his thing. You know, just so people have another visual.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, actually perform, you know, perform that song.
Okay, so, if you need me, if you need me in the video, you know, just call me. If you need me, only if you need me.
I will. If I need you, I'll call you.
Okay. That is good. Now, let me say this, because when I listen to albums and people have collaborations on the album,
mm-hmm.
then we go see you in concert. See, this is what I love about Key Players, because we are where Key Players speak and we can just talk about it. And then I go see you and I love that song you have with your collaboration, or the one you collaborated with, whether it be Monifa, who I love and respect, or Brian McKnight Jr., and then it's just you all doing the concert. Now, I'm just saying.
You know something?
Go ahead. Come on now.
I know where you're going with this, and I know exactly where you're going, and the same thing happened with my first album.
Okay.
Of course, you know, people would love to see people who actually sang the song on stage with the artist.
Right.
But again, it won't happen in every city because, you know, in my case, especially with the first album, people were, you know, they were working or they were touring, you know, which of course is working itself. What helps is if you have someone great on stage with you to do that song, so it'll make you forget that the artist isn't there. But the person that you have singing has to be that great.
Right.
They have to be that great. Yeah. And I have a couple people, you know, in my corner who I use.
Okay, good. I need to hear that.
Wherever I go.
I need to hear that.
But I get it because I'm telling you, I would like to take every singer that's on my album to every city with me that I go to. It would be great.
Right.
It would be not cost effective to do it that way because, you know, if you got 10 singers on your album, then you got to pay you,
right,
the band, then all of these singers, you got to pay for all of these flights. I mean, it's a lot.
Right, so,
yeah, it's a lot. But in a perfect world, that would be great to be able to take every singer to everything.
Right. All right. I mean, I think I went to one concert. It was a Mary J. Blige concert. And I mean, she bought out everybody. I left and I was impressed. But you know, everybody loves her. They're gonna make a way to you know, show love. And so then that's what I'm saying. Don't have folks on your album just to have them on your album. Have them on your album, like you said, they're close enough to be willing to participate outside of egos and everything. Just that we're artists, we're friends, and let's make this happen. Because I need more. I need some more from us guys. I love promoting new albums and new artists and seasoned artists, but the collaboration and the, you know, look at country music. They'll pull out someone who we ain't heard of in 500 years and they selling out arenas. So I'm just saying, I just want us to do better.
Country music is actually one of my favorite genres.
Okay, and that's all right. And see, this is what I love about what I do, because I get to share. If you come out with a country song, be sure to call me so we can talk about it and promote it. Because we should not have stigmas. We shouldn't have stigmas. If you're an artist, you're an artist. And I'm kind of glad most artists are free right now from the labels, that the labels don't want to sign, or the labels are playing games, so that you can really, like you said, let things flow and get to really hear yourself musically without someone punching you in the head talking about, that's not what we want. We need more of this. No, say a cuss word. No, be a little more explicit. You know, you can do it the way you want to do it. And with social media and having a tight network and a media partner like me, we're going to make it work.
Look, I hear you on that.
Yeah, we're going to make it work.
That's definitely one of the things, you know, about not being backed by a label, especially during the creative process. You just do what it is that you feel and you craft the type of music that you want to craft. I think that's really important.
Because we all evolve, you know, you singing love songs now, you might want to do a gospel hit, you know, next year. Who knows? Who knows what may come up in your belly to sing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brandon, you know, that was good stuff. I love talking to you. That was all right.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very fun.
So we look forward to hearing that. People who can reach out to you on social media and get the single on digital outlets.
Yeah. So, all of my social media is B. Williams Music. So, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's all B. Williams Music. Or you can go right to my website, which is bwilliamsmusic.com, and all of the social media links are, and more information, show dates, and everything is right there on my website.
I love it. Well, I want you guys to follow him, B. Williams Music, on social media. Make sure you check out that new single, Soul in Love. And listen out for my brother right now, Brandon Williams. Brandon, thank you again.
Nigeria, thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
You're welcome, sir.
All right.